Good morning, everybody. I like that. I liked a lot of those songs, actually, but that last one was saying, "Who shall we say you are? You're the great I am," which ties in very, very nicely. So we're going to be looking at the basically the last I am in the Bible, the last I am in this series. And not surprisingly, it comes on the very last page of your Bible, not in the maps or the concordance. We're talking the actual books of the Bible here. Very last page. Does anyone, so I've given you a little bit of a clue this morning, the message this morning. Does anyone know what the last I am could possibly be? Well, yeah, you're kind of right, but technically that's not one of the I ams, because it's a statement, not a title. But you're right. That's the very, very last thing that Jesus said in the Bible. Yeah. "Behold, I am coming soon," or "I am coming quickly." Yeah. So it does have I am, but the I ams we're looking at are actually the titles.
So there's one more to do?
There's one more. No, we've done Alpha and Omega. We've done the first and the last. That is it, but it's not what I'm going to be talking about. So, in Revelation, it's a little bit. I said no. I was going to do that one, but I actually spoke about that I am the root and offspring of David when I did the Messianic Psalm series. And so I decided not to do that one this time, but I wanted to do what it says straight after that, because he says, "I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star." So technically, yeah, exactly. There's a big clue up on the screen. Technically, the last I am is that one there, that I am the bright morning star. You might remember even just talking just very briefly about being I am the root and the descendant or offspring of David. You might remember from when we did the Messianic Psalm series, I quoted from what Jesus said to the Pharisees one time. And he said to them, it says in Matthew, I'll just read it out. It says, "While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, 'What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he?' And they said, 'The son of David.' And he said to them, 'Well, how is it then that David, speaking by the Spirit, calls him Lord? For he says, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet." If David then calls him Lord, how can he be his son?" It's a little bit of a puzzle for the Pharisees anyway. And it says, "No one could say a word in reply. And from that day on, no one dared to ask him any more questions." So he was basically saying to them, if the Messiah is the son of David, how come he's also David's Lord? He actually came before David and he comes after. He's the root or the source of David. He's also the offspring. But this morning we're going to look at this next one. I am the bright morning star. And we're going to look at just kind of like four different things. I think I put them up here. So we're going to look just by looking at what the morning star is. Actually, what it just means in the natural, in the heavens around us. Hopefully you all know. We're going to do an overview of Bible history in relation to this theme, which, like I said, there are three sessions, 3 hours each. 5 minute gap in between them.
Bring your lunch.
Yep, no lunch provided. You'll be out of here by 8:30 tonight. And then we're going to look at why Jesus said that he is actually the bright morning star. And we're going to jump forward to a day when the Bible tells us that the morning star shall actually arise, spiritually speaking, within us, which kind of sounds a little bit odd. All right, So let's start just by looking at this in the natural. What is the morning star? Does anyone know what? You guys should know what the morning star is. Do you know what the morning star is? No. Venus. Yeah. Yeah. So in astronomy, the morning star is actually speaking of a planet, not technically a star, but they use the word star in a wider scope because we look up into the sky and there's all these things that shine, and so we think that they're all stars. Technically, it's actually the planet Venus, which is after the sun and the moon is the brightest object in our sky. So you probably all got up in the mornings, right? Got out of bed early to watch the morning star rise. No one sleeps in like I do. Once a week, you want to see that morning star rise, don't you? I had a feeling maybe that some of you are like sleepyheads like me, and so maybe you're kind of not sure what it's about. And I found a video which was shot in Otago in a time lapse. All right, so if we're going to basically like sum up what the morning star sort of talks about, it's probably hope. The morning star rises while it's still dark, but as you watch the morning star rise, it's actually a pointer to the coming dawn of a new day. And that's why Jesus basically said that I am the bright morning star, because it's a pointer to a new day that is coming, even while it's dark. So I wanted to do a little bit of a very quick overview of Bible history, just to do with this theme of the morning star. Because we've seen that it's mentioned by Jesus in the very last page of the last book in the Bible. But if you go back to arguably the earliest book in the Bible, there's a mention of this morning star as well. So turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Job. Chapter 38. So Job's kind of had a lot to say throughout the book, along with his friends. But in chapter 38, God finally speaks and kind of puts Job in his place, in his right place, really, by asking him about 70 different questions. But all we're going to look at is verse 4 through to 7. So this is the Lord speaking to Job. And he says, "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me, if you have understanding, who set its measurements, since you know? Or who stretched the line on it? Or what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy?" So he actually pictures like this dawn of this first day, basically, of creation. And he says that the morning stars, as they saw what God had done and what God was making, sang, and the sons of God shouted for joy. It's likely that the reference to the morning stars here and the sons of God are both talking about the angelic realm. Stars in the Bible are often used of angels. In Revelation, when Jesus speaks to John, he says, "Those seven stars that you saw, they're the seven angels." And in chapter 12 in Revelation, it talks about the fall of Satan from heaven. It talks about how he brought down with him a third of the stars. It's another sort of reference to the angels. So it's likely that this here is basically saying that on this first day of creation, the angelic realm was just bursting forth into song in anticipation of what God was doing and what was coming. You know, we talk about, we might hear maybe, you know, someone sing or a choir, and you think, "Oh, that's so angelic. You know, what an angelic little choir or angelic voice." Well, this literally was an angelic choir bursting forth. The morning stars, there was joy, there was happiness, they were singing. All in anticipation of what was to come. And yet, as we know, there was one that wasn't singing. There was one morning star who was not happy with what he saw at all. Turn in your Bible's well-known passage, Isaiah chapter 14. Again, we're just doing a quick overview of this theme, really, as it works its way through the Bible. Yeah, you can pull it up, actually, just so it doesn't bang. So Isaiah 14, verse 12, and it says, "How you have fallen from heaven, O morning star, son of the dawn, and you've been cast down to earth, you who once laid low the nations, and you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven, and I will raise my throne above the stars of God. And I will sit enthroned on the mount of assembly, on the uttermost heights of the sacred mountain. And I will ascend above the tops of the clouds, and I will make myself like the Most High. But you are brought down to the grave, to the depths of the pit." So here's actually a description of Lucifer, which literally means light bearer. Here he's called, O morning star, son of the dawn. At one stage, he was, the Bible says, he was God's anointed cherub, the highest in the order of the angelic realm. He himself was a morning star. He was one who shone forth light until wickedness was found in him. And we know what he did, that he deceived Eve. Adam disobeyed. And you only have to look at the 6 o'clock news, or the families of people around us, to know, you know, how great that fall was and how great that deception is. And how much evil that's brought to this world. And yet the Bible, when you're looking at a survey, gives hope of a new star coming. Let me start a little quiz starter here. Who said that? I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near.
Wasn't that with Balaam's prophecies?
Yeah. Yeah. Balaam, the infamous Balaam, was obviously a very mixed kind of character, but he actually did reveal some quite amazing sort of prophetic things that God actually showed him. So this was a prophecy of Balaam, and in its larger context it says this: the oracle of one who hears the words of God, who has the knowledge from the Most High, who sees a vision from the Almighty, who falls prostrate and whose eyes are opened. And I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star will come out of Jacob, and a scepter will rise out of Israel. So he saw this vision, basically, of the star that was going to come, that was going to arise. He knew it was going to come out of Jacob, which is another name for Israel. He knew the scepter, the king, was coming from Israel. But he also knew it's not near. It's actually not for my day, but I can see him in the distance. There's actually a redeemer. There's a star coming to put right. And you might remember, even with the wise men that came from the east when Jesus was born. We all know the story, especially at Christmas time. They actually followed a star. Followed it initially to Jerusalem. That's kind of where it led them. And they went to King Herod. And they said, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him." And that freaked Herod out. A king? A king's been born? A king of the Jews? And so we know that what he did, he went, you know, away to basically kill all the baby boys. And that star actually led the wise men right to the very house where Jesus was born. So it's likely that it was more than just a literal star. Could well have been the Shekinah glory of God. All right, so jump back into Revelation. And we'll just look at this a little bit closer. So Revelation 22. So it says, "I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star." So the whole context of what he's saying here is actually to do with his return. It carries on in the next verse. It says, "The Spirit and the Bride say, 'Come,' and let the one who hears say, 'Come,' and let him who is thirsty come." It's all to do with the return of Jesus. So just like we saw in the video, that the star rises while it's darkness. It's a pointer to a new day that's coming, but it actually rises before that new day, before the sun dawns. So I just was thinking about those three things, that we're currently in the night. You might remember a scripture from Romans. Paul said, "Do this, knowing the time, that it is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. For now salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. The night is almost gone and the day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light." So he's kind of using the same kind of imagery, that there's a day coming. Yeah, we're in the night at the moment. But he, even back then, he didn't know exactly when that day was going to come. It was always imminent, the return of Christ. And so he could say that the night is almost gone. So if he's going to say it back then, what are we going to say today? Because the night, honestly, is right at the very end. And the morning star will soon arise. So that's the first thing. The morning star comes in the night. And we are currently in the night. We see, even like when you look at the news, so many different signs, right? So much tension in so many different areas. You know, like there's political tension, financial tension. There's tension between nations. Tension in whether it's the Middle East, whether it's Europe, whether it's what Russia's doing with China rising. There's so many things that are sort of pointing to the coming, to the rising of that morning star. The second thing is that, like I said, that morning star points to a coming new day. And we know that a new day is coming. Just like Jesus in the very last book, last chapter, says that, "I am the bright morning star." If you go to the last book of the Old Testament, the last chapter, you actually see him in a slightly different way. It says there, "But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves." So there he pictures him actually as the sun, basically the coming of this new day, the S-U-N, which is obviously the S-O-N as well. He's the Son of Righteousness with healing. And when we think about the healing that he'll bring, it's going to be to all areas. Healing to mankind, to the animal kingdom, to the vegetable kingdom, to the harmony between all things. That's the healing that comes with the Son of Righteousness when it arises. But even before then, before the new day comes, we'll see the morning star in the heavens. So yes, the sun, meaning his eternal kingdom, really, is coming. But even before then, there's the morning star that will actually arise while it's still dark. And that's really the hope of the church. That's the rapture. That's actually because we will meet him in the heavens where that morning star rises to. There's another scripture that I wanted to look at, which kind of tells us something that we should sort of do while this day is dark, while we wait for the morning star to rise. And it's in 2 Peter. You may or may not know that Peter talks about the morning star as well. So in 2 Peter 1, we'll start in verse 16. I'll just read down to 19. It says, "We did not follow cleverly devised tales when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, such an utterance as this was made to him by the majestic glory, that this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. And we ourselves heard this utterance made from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. So we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts." So another kind of reference there to the morning star arising. Peter's basically saying, look, we didn't have to make any of this up. We didn't follow some cleverly devised tale. We didn't even get this second hand. We actually first hand witnessed the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he would have been talking about what they saw on the Mount of Transfiguration when Jesus was changed and Moses and Elijah were there with him. So he's saying, we saw this. We were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He received honor from God the Father, saying, this is my beloved Son. And so he says that we have the prophetic word made more sure. Or it can be translated, like in the New King James, that we have the prophetic word confirmed. He's basically saying we had what the prophets had said were going to happen, and then we saw it. We saw it with our own eyes. And he says, and you would do well to pay attention to these very things. You would do well to pay attention to what, not only what the prophets have said, but also to the fulfillment that you've seen. And when you think about it, of all the generations, we've seen the most prophecy fulfilled since the time of Christ. It's kind of mind-boggling. I started writing down just a very brief list, basically what I could fit on one little page, just to do with this. You would do well to pay attention. Some things that, you know, that we've seen, like in our generation. So the prophet said that God would regather Israel from all the nations that he scattered them back into their land. Started scattering them basically in 70 AD. You know, regathered them, became a nation again in 1948. Our generation. He said how the desolate land of Israel would blossom again and be fruitful. I mean, I know that you guys know these things, but it's good to remember, because Israel just lay like a waste. You know, I think Amir Safadi, when he was here, talked about how Mark Twain went there in the late 1800s, and he said, I didn't see another soul, and it's just barren. There's just nothing there. And yet today, like the Isaiah said, that, you know, fruit goes out around the whole world from Israel. Incredible. In Zechariah chapter 12, it talks about how God would actually defend Israel against her enemies. And so you had all these wars, 48, 49, 56, 67, 73, all outnumbered. But in Zechariah, God said he would make the feeblest among them like David. And Zechariah also talks about how Jerusalem would become the burden and the attention of the whole world. It would be basically a stumbling stone, a burdensome stone. The whole world would not be able to sort this thing out and would just keep tripping up over and over and over. And that's what we see. And then there's the general prophecies of what Jesus talked about. An increase of wars, disasters, earthquakes, plagues. Rise and false religious leaders and deception, the falling away from the faith. We actually see all these things. An explosion Daniel talked about in knowledge and travel. Knowledge is like gone nuts because of the internet, basically. The amount of knowledge that I did read at one stage how often it's doubling, and I can't remember offhand, but it was just, it's mind-boggling. The speed at which knowledge is increasing. All of these things are like little lights in a dark environment so that we know what's to come. Increase in wickedness. Jesus talked about it would be like the days of Noah. Even talks about disobedience amongst children. And we see, you know, so many different family problems in this day. And then I just wrote down a few things in the pipeline which we can see developing, things that the Bible says will happen and they're in their way. It talks about the coming destruction of Damascus, talks about the rise of Gog, which is basically the Russia, Turkey, Iran alliance, a Middle East 7-year covenant or peace treaty, and we see them always trying to establish some kind of peace treaty which has been elusive up until now. The establishment of the third Jewish temple, which will happen, but is not necessarily a good thing. The emergence of a world government, world religion, and eventual world ruler. And then finally, like a global financial system and the mark of the beast. But, like, this generation is seeing all these things. So Peter tells us that you'd do well to pay attention to the, especially to the fulfilled prophecies, because they're actually like a light unto your path. And he says to do that until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. It's kind of a slightly cryptic comment. Even the commentators aren't necessarily exactly sure what does it mean that the morning star is going to arise in your hearts. We know that Jesus said, I am the bright morning star. So he's not only coming for us, but something's actually going to arise and happen within us. And I just wrote down a few little things. Actually, even before then, just talking about all of these things that are happening. You know, I was listening a couple of weeks ago to a message by J.D. Farrar, and he was talking about how God doesn't want us getting our roots down too deep in this world. He was talking about how he allows things to happen in our lives so that we will always be clinging to the hope of the heavenly home that we have. And it was a really, really good message. He said, left to ourselves, we would just want it to, you know, we'd put our roots right down as deep as we can. We love it here. You know, you're not going to tear us away from this. You know, we like it in this place. But he was saying that, you know, that's not where our home is. That's not where our hope is. And there's a coming new home and a coming new world. So it's a good thing to remember, even when you see all these things. So what does it actually mean that the morning star is going to arise in our hearts? Jesus actually, in Revelation to the churches, actually gave the promise that I'll give you the morning star. I think that was a promise to, I think it's Thyatira. And we've got to remember that he is the morning star. So there's going to come a day when this morning star will arise in our hearts, and basically, like I said at the start, this whole thing of the morning star is hope. It's hope for the new day. So I just wrote down a few little things. So firstly, it's going to be the full realization of hope. Everything that we've hoped for. I wasn't going to say this, but because I'll get in trouble. I'm starting to shrink. I think the last time I spoke, I talked about a dream that Mum had of the rapture one time. And a few years ago, she had another dream. And I don't want to make it sound like she's having dreams all the time, because she gets embarrassed. But we're talking about the first dream was in the 60s, 1960s. Yeah. So we're talking about two kind of prophetic dreams over 60 years kind of thing. But she said that in this dream she could see, she sort of found herself in a whole different realm, and she looked back over her right shoulder and could see basically the world that had been left behind, and knew that all of that stuff was now gone, it was now finished. And you can just imagine, you know, like we all have different problems and issues, things that we're dealing with. Can you imagine the day when there's this full realization of the hopes that we have? All of those things are gone. Don't have to worry about that anymore. There was a lot more to it, but I don't think I'll go into it. But that the rising of this morning star is going to be the full realization of hope. And then I just put the full illumination. So it's to do with this light, obviously, full revelation. You know, the Bible says at the moment we just see through a glass dimly. We're trying to work out what's going on, both in the world and in our own lives and family lives. You know, how shall I react to this situation? We just see things so dimly. We see even to our knowledge of the Lord is dim. But on that day, it says that we will actually know even as we are known. Full illumination, full revelation. And finally, full transformation. You all know the scripture in 1 John, how he talks about how we will see him, we'll be like him, because we'll see him as he really is. We'll be transformed. Paul, especially, when he talks about the glory that's going to come, he often talks about it not so much as an external thing, even though it will be, but he also always talks, well, not always, but often talks about it as what's going to happen within us. I just put one example of this as a scripture up here. He said, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. So he didn't say the glory that will be revealed to us or the glory that will be revealed around us. He's actually saying that there's the glory that will be revealed in us, which is again that same sort of picture, the day star rising in the hearts on that day and the transformation that actually takes place amongst believers. And he talks about how creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. So when I was thinking about this verse especially, I was thinking about how at the start of creation, like we saw, the morning stars sang, the sons of God rejoiced in what God was doing. So you had this picture of the angelic realm just rejoicing in the creation that God had made. But when it talks about the return of Christ and what things are going to happen, it just talks about all of creation rejoicing. I mean, the angels will be singing, those that are redeemed will be singing, creation talks about the trees in the field will be clapping their hands. Oh yeah. So happy. So it seemed like a fitting place really to end, I guess, the series on the I Ams. I guess with the hope of the coming of the Lord, full realization of hope, full illumination, full revelation, full transformation. And just the thought that there's a new day coming. I might actually play that video once more, because I like how it ends just with that really nice day coming forth.